Back in the day, insurance agents visited with their clients around the kitchen table to collect premiums and discuss coverage. Nowadays, people are more concerned with convenience and price without really understanding what they're purchasing. Our goal for each show is to bring some of that kitchen table conversation back in order to help our listeners understand their coverage and how it relates to their particular situation. We would like to mention that every insurance company is a little different as far as their policies and coverage. Please contact your insurance company for more information on your particular situation. And now, let's talk insurance. Hello, and welcome once again to Let's Talk Insurance, the weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. I am Matt, and we are from M. Vanderplow Insurance Agency, located in beautiful downtown Zeeland, Michigan. If you're anywhere on the Lake Michigan Lakeshore, you can give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-968-1497. You can visit us on the web. Doesn't matter if you're on a desktop, laptop, smartphone, or tablet. It's all the same address, and that's mvpinsure.us. That's mvpinsure.us. You ought to send us an email. You could do that too. It's marsilliins@gmail.com. That's marsiljeins@gmail.com. I don't know about you, but here in the Midwest, we had another phenomenon that I had never heard of. First phenomenon was the polar vortex that happened back in January. And now, this last week, we had a bomb cyclone come through. Again, those are two weather terms that I had not heard before in the 40-plus years that I've been alive. I don't know if you've heard of those before, but it was just kind of interesting, these two different phenomena as well. Luckily, we survived the polar vortex without losing power, but with the bomb cyclone, with the winds whipping around at 50 to 60 miles an hour, did take out some trees, which in turn took out some power lines all across the state. And my home was one of the homes that was affected by it. It was interesting, though, to look at the outage map. We have Consumers Energy, so you can go to the Consumers Energy Outage Center, and you can see the map for your particular state to see where the power outages are. And for our address, it was a kind of like a misshapen triangle. It was just one area. We were at one point, and it just kind of widened out from beyond our house. So there was a small number of residents in our tiny area that were without power. Here at the office, we had power. The schools had power, but our home did not. And of course, I've got I got a teenager, and I've got a fourth grader who weren't very happy that schools had power, so they had to go to school. But thankfully, within 24 hours, the power was restored. And I just got to thinking about that. You know, we've done podcasts in the past on how to prepare for, a winter storm or a power outage or something like that. All the items that you need, a flashlight and food and water and other things, to be prepared in case the power goes out and you have what you need. But one thing that I thought about this week after going through the bomb cyclone was we never shared what you should not do during a power outage. And I thought about that. Are there things out there that we should not be doing during a power outage? And I happened to come across an article from Reader's Digest. And again, I want to go to our website. It's mvpinsure.us. That's mvpinsure.us. Lower right-hand side of the landing page is the Let's Talk Insurance blog. Go ahead and click on that. It'll bring you to the blog post for today. And there's a full article. And there's I think there's like 10 or 12 tips in total. From Reader's Digest of things you should not do during a power outage. So I thought that this week I would share as a part of our podcast just a few of the things you should not do during a power outage. Some of them may surprise you. Some may say, okay, that makes sense. But again, I want you to go to our webpage, click on the link for the blog post for today and click through to the Reader's Digest article, because again, I'm only going to share a few of the tips because I want you to visit their website and read the entire article. The first one is light candles. I would have thought that, you know, the power goes out, well, you need a light source, maybe a small heat source, that lighting candles would be a good idea. But they recommend you don't do that because of the potential hazard for fire. You may knock over the candle and it may spill. There may be a hazard with hot wax. If you spill hot wax, you can get hurt. They don't recommend lighting candles during a power outage, as romantic or as practical as that may seem. These days now, I mean, we could go to a store like Five Below or Dollar General and you could pick up, you know, little LED lamps for a dollar that runs off a battery, much safer than candles. So obviously that would be a something to consider instead of lighting candles. Just get a bunch of those little LED lamps, lanterns, very cheap, inexpensive, to have on hand in case of a power outage. Second tip, you should not keep electronics plugged in. Now, hopefully these days, if you do have any major electronics that you're using, a power strip that has a surge protector in that, and that surge protector is there to protect against a power surge. So if the power suddenly goes out, there is a surge of power that kind of causes the breaker or whatever to snap, so the power goes out. Or once power gets restored, there's that surge of power getting right back into the house. Surge protector is there to take on that additional voltage load, so it does not blow out all your items, or your electronical items. That makes it a little bit easier when it comes to unplugging your electronics, because I'm sure having a power strip, you have several devices plugged in, and then it's just one plug in the wall. Just unplug that and you should be good to go. Now, should you go zealously running around unplugging everything in the house? I would say the major stuff, the stuff that you wouldn't want to get damaged, to unplug it. If stuff's hard to reach, you're going to have to take a chance with that. Of course, you're going to want to leave at least one lamp plugged in and turned on so you know when the power is restored. I know the power is restored oftentimes as I'll look at the microwave and I'll see the flashing 12, or I'll look at the stove and see the flashing 12 and know that the power has come back on. But, certainly should consider unplugging your electronic devices. And then again, just leaving a lamp plugged in so when power comes back on, you'll know that you have power. The next one here is leaving your freezer half empty. This is something you shouldn't do. A full freezer should stay cold for up to 48 hours. If it's half full, you cut that time in half, so you're looking at 24 hours. They recommend filling gallon jugs or gallon storage bags with water to fill up the freezer. Very, very low cost. I mean, you get a milk jug, a gallon milk jug. Just save the jug, wash it out. Fill it up with water, stick it in the freezer. Freezer bags are, a couple dollars for 15 of them. Very simple. You just fill those up with water and load those up in the freezer, just so it'll take up space and help things to remain cold. As a bonus, those freezer bags that you have filled with water, you can use those in your cooler when you go on picnics. Use them as ice packs. So you got dual purpose there. But definitely you don't want to leave your freezer half empty in case of a power outage, for sure. Now, this next one I thought was kind of funny. Ignore traffic rules. Here recently in the state of Michigan, it is now law that in case of a power outage or a four-way flashing red, where the traffic light has a red flashing on all four stops or two stops or whatever, they are to be treated as a four-way stop, which I had thought all along that's the way you would treat blinking traffic light, or if the traffic light is out, that you would treat that intersection like a four-way stop. I just thought that that was common knowledge. Well, more than that, that it was actually a law or a rule for the road that a flashing red or a power outage intersections would be considered a four-way stop. Don't ignore traffic signs or rules of the road or anything like that. Just because the power goes out doesn't mean that the rules of the road don't apply anymore. It's not like a Mad Max situation where, you know, if there's a power outage, there's a breakdown in the you know, power grid where all the traffic lights go out. That doesn't mean every man for themselves and, you know, speed demon it down the road. You definitely want to follow the rules of the road. And again, remember, in case of a power outage, if you got a flashing traffic signal, or if there's no power to the traffic signal at all, that intersection should be treated as a four-way stop. Now, the last one you would think would make common sense, but more often than not, I've seen articles in the newspaper. We had one last winter, unfortunately, that had happened. Don't operate a power generator in your garage. We recently, actually, come to think of it, last December, had a family that had passed away. The power was shut off in their home, and they were heating their home with kerosene heaters and were using a power generator to generate power. They had it outside, which was great, but it was right underneath a window. And apparently the window wasn't properly sealed, and carbon monoxide got into the home, and the people unfortunately passed away with a combination of the kerosene heaters and also the carbon monoxide from the generator. Read your owner's manual. Your owner's manual should tell you how far away from any structure that generator needs to be, and also how to properly operate it to avoid a situation like that. You're going to need a well-ventilated area, of course, because you're running a gas or a kerosene generator, or a combustible engine that is going to give off exhaust fumes. So you certainly want to make sure that it is operated properly. I really, if you're interested in getting a generator in case of a power outage, go to that Reader's Digest article, because there's a couple other things that they say you should not do in regards to a generator in your using a generator during a power outage. So there's a couple other tips in there that I want to you to check out. Again, you can go to our website, www.mvpinsurer.us. That's mvpinsurer.us. And lower right-hand corner of the landing page is Let's Talk Insurance. Go ahead and click on that. It should bring you to the blog post for today's podcast. Again, we are from M. Vanderplow Insurance Agency, located in beautiful downtown Zeeland, Michigan. If you're anywhere on the Lake Michigan Lakeshore, you can give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-968-1497. You can visit us on the web. Doesn't matter if you're on a desktop, laptop, smartphone, or tablet, all the same address. It's mvpinsurer.us. It's mvpinsurer.us. You want to send us an email too? You can do that. marciliains@gmail.com. That's marciliains@gmail.com. I want to thank you for tuning in each and every week to Let's Talk Insurance, the weekly podcast. We share with you all things insurance, and I hope you have a very good week. Take care.